Hello, my name is Amanda Hope Haley, and I am the red-haired archaeologist. Thank you so much for spending some of your valuable time today getting to know me and previewing future episodes about ancient dirt and dusty finds and what they can teach us about the biblical world. Biblical archaeology is my passion, and as you listen to this podcast, I hope it will start to excite you too. I fell in love with biblical archaeology when I was an undergraduate student at Rhodes College. I was in a really small class with several of my close friends, and I ended up just loving every bit of it. For our final project for the class, I somehow convinced the teacher that I didn't need to write a paper, but instead I could make a model of the first temple, Solomon's Temple. She let me get away with it, and it was wonderful. I got to play with gold paints and build things with my own hands. I loved working with my hands back then, and I still do. I guess in general, I love old things. Our house is over 100 years old, and nothing makes me happier than pulling a piece of wood off the wall, getting out my heat gun or some stripper or something like that, and attacking just layers and layers of layers in paint and seeing what just might be below it in the wood buried underneath. I share this house with my husband. His name is David, and we have a basset hound named Copper. He's about 4 years old. He acts about 45. He's ornery and lovable, and too much of our lives revolve around him. They both tend to get upset whenever I get into one of my restoration projects around the house. Copper's used to me being at home. I write books most of the time. And so he's used to just snuggling with me wherever I am. And when I'm doing something with a chemical stripper, I obviously can't have him in the room because they don't make air filters for dogs the way that they do for humans. So he tends to stand on the other side of whatever barricade I've put up and whine at me. And when my husband comes home, he sometimes does the same, because it seems every project I start, whether it's in the house or writing a book, no matter what it is, it takes twice as long as I think it's going to and costs at least twice as much money. So neither of them are really happy with my active pastime. But this year, I'm going to be taking that love of all things buried and returning to Israel. It's been 15 years since I have been there. And this time around, I'm going to a new dig site called Tel Shimron. It's in Israel, the northern part of Israel, and it's about halfway between Haifa and the Sea of Galilee, which maybe those are areas that are more known to you. I'm excited about doing this for a lot of reasons. Mostly because I will be there with a ton of my old friends and colleagues from my grad school days. Back in 2005, I graduated from Harvard with a Master of Theological Studies in Hebrew Scripture and Interpretation. That's a huge mouthful, which basically means I became a biblical archaeologist. I absolutely loved my time at Harvard, and when I think back on it, the entire experience revolves around the time that I spent digging in Ashkelon. It was a city owned by the Philistines. It is also a modern city, a pretty bustling city. It is beautiful. It is on the Mediterranean. The water is a color of blue I've never seen anywhere before in my life. There are great cool breezes that come off of it. And before I went there, when I thought of Israel, I always thought of just dry, dusty dunes, basically. And that is not Ashkelon. It is just a gorgeous coastal city. It lies about 10 kilometers north of Gaza, the Gaza Strip. So it's a pretty active place when it comes to the Israeli military. When we would be there digging during the day, about the same time every day, maybe just before noon, the Israeli army would get out and they would be doing their maneuvers, practicing, that sort of thing. And they would send their airplanes out over the Mediterranean and break the sound barrier. And it created the biggest boom that you've ever heard. So I remember being in Gaza or being so close to Gaza and hearing that noise the first few times, you just panic. You don't know what's happening. But we got used to it eventually. And there was nothing wrong, nothing to worry about. It is just a beautiful place, and I encourage you to go. While I was there digging, we worked for about 6 weeks there, and there was one other classmate who was there with me from Harvard. And he, I don't think, enjoyed digging quite as much as I did. We would laugh that at the end of the day, he looked perfect. He was pristine. He would wear these button-down, short-sleeved, like plaid shirts. And at the end of the day, they all still kind of seemed to have like an iron crease in them. And I don't even know where he was getting an iron because we were all washing our clothes out in the sink every evening. But I, on the other hand, was completely covered in dirt and would get back to the place where we were staying and just pour dirt out of my socks. I was a complete and filthy mess. And so the two of us decided that how much dirt you take back to your bedroom after the dig has to be directly proportional to how much you love digging. It just isn't for everyone. So when you get there, you have to be an early bird. The sun rises probably about 5 a.m. in Israel. And at the dig sites I've been involved with, we get up at 4. We have a quick breakfast wherever we are, and then we'll get our equipment and walk out to the sites, hopefully start digging about 5 o'clock in the morning. We'll work for a few hours, and then there's something called second breakfast. That is a thing. The hobbits aren't the only ones who get to do it. We would sit down under a tree, find some shelter, shade somewhere, and eat just fresh local produce, some boiled eggs, that kind of thing. Rest for a few minutes, get rehydrated before we went out. But second breakfast was always the highlight of the morning. Then in the afternoons, maybe around 12 or 1 o'clock, when it was really starting to get to the heat of the day, we would take a literal siesta. We'd go back, we'd shower, we'd nap or rest or do whatever we wanted to do for a few hours until the heat of the day was over. That always reminds me of Genesis when Abraham and Sarah are visited by the messenger and he's coming to tell Abraham that Sarah is going to have a son. It talks about how Sarah is in the tent and Abraham is out somewhere under a tree taking a rest. So I always imagine that that was him on siesta. Sarah was alone in her tent. No cooking was happening because it was just too hot and she was just resting and waiting. So every afternoon after we had naps around maybe 3 o'clock, we would go back out to the site and get all the pottery and artifacts that we had found during the day and wash them in big buckets of water with little brushes. It's not very glamorous. And then figure out which pieces told us something. And those would get tags and we would have to catalog them. And that was pretty tedious, although at least you got to be sitting down and your hands were in water. So it was cooler and you were talking with your friends. But the result is the next day when you go out and you're digging and you keep finding piece of pottery after piece of pottery after piece of pottery, what starts off is extremely exciting, very quickly becomes tedious because you realize every single one of those, you didn't just find it. You're going to have to clean it and you're going to have to do something with it. That's difficult. One thing I realized the first time I was out digging is that I'm incredibly detail-oriented, and that's important. You have to have good eyes, and you have to know what you're looking for. You have to see things in the dirt, recognize different shades, that sort of thing. And the other thing that's really important is that you be sunproof. God did not create me sunproof. I am a redhead. So that's where the red-haired part of the red-haired archaeologist comes in. I am so fair that my husband teases me that in the winter, my skin is so white it's blue because you can see the veins coming through. I turn pink if I'm out in the sun for a few minutes or if I just get hot. And sometimes just rolling out of bed in the morning is enough activity to get me going and I turn bright red and break a sweat. It doesn't take very much. When I was in Israel, I cannot imagine how many bottles of sunscreen that I went through. I was so careful to keep that on all the time. The last thing I wanted to do was burn and then continue to have to work 6 days a week out in the sun. So I was careful. I never burnt, but I did manage to freckle more than I have ever freckled before in my life. God simply did not design me to be out in the field, but he gave me an undeniable passion for it. I'm looking forward to going back. After I graduated from Harvard in 2005, David and I were completely broke. That was before the economic bubble burst and everything was insanely expensive. So we ran back to Tennessee, which is where we both are from, with the intention of me just taking off 1 year before I went back for my PhD. We both thought that I was going to become a professor, but if anyone ever tells you while you're in school, don't stop, because if you stop, you'll never go back. In my case, they were absolutely right. Life just kind of took over. After we'd been back in the Nashville area for a few months, I started working with Thomas Nelson, who at the time was the largest publisher of Bibles in the world. They started a new translation of the Bible called The Voice. They hired me on to do some editing and stuff, and then I was also a translator for some portions of the Old Testament. We thought I'd do it for about a year, but I ended up staying on for the entire project, and 1 year turned into 7. Also during those years, David and I tried to start a family. We suffered several miscarriages, and I wrote my first book, which is called Barren Among the Fruitful, for Thomas Nelson. As we were experiencing everything, I was working with this team on the Voice Bible. I fell in love with them. They were so wonderful and so supportive, and they actually asked me to write that book. It was very healing for me. I hope that it's helped other women who've been through the same thing. Not only was I writing my own book at the time, but I was also editing other people's. And I did some ghostwriting for some popular Christian authors. I never intended to write books. That wasn't the plan, but that's where I've ended up. And I absolutely love it. So at some point during those 7 years, I decided that writing was where I needed to be. And I gave up on the idea of getting my doctorate and ever even returning to Israel to dig. I think maybe our desire for children took over that passion that was in my heart. My husband and I were involved in a church that we absolutely loved. We led some life groups and made great friends. And we have 2 of the most beautiful godsons as a result of that time. So I'm thankful for those 7 years, even though kind of derailed my plans. After The Voice was over, David, my husband, who I like to say that he colors blueprints, he builds medical facilities, basically. The company that he worked with had him going out to the West Coast quite a bit. And we ended up moving to Denver. We spent tons and tons of time in hotels. It was very busy, very stressful time, but we loved it. And we actually thought that we were going to stay in Denver and live out there forever. But he ended up being found by a headhunter that brought us back to another city in Tennessee. It's called Chattanooga. It's the 4th largest one here. It wasn't long after David and I came back to Tennessee, and we were living in this 100-year-old house with all of its problems that I absolutely loved to fix, that I woke up and I had an email from someone at Harvest House Publishers. They're a Christian publisher out in Eugene, Oregon, and to date, they are some of my favorite people on the planet. The woman who emailed me, her name is Kathleen, and today she is my editor. She had somehow discovered me and had written to ask if I had ever intended to do a follow-up book to Barren Among the Fruitful. And I actually had. The book was going to be about how to read the Bible in context. In a way, the idea was the culmination of everything that I've ever studied and everything that I love about Scripture. So I pitched her that book, and actually a couple of weeks later, I had a new book contract, and I'm so thankful to be working with this amazing team. Come October 15th of 2019, Mary Magdalene Never Wore Blue Eyeshadow will be coming out. Its subtitle is How to Trust the Bible When Truth and Tradition Collide. I'm really excited about it. And there's one chapter in this book that's basically devoted to archaeology and what we can learn from what's in the dirt to inform the way that we understand Scripture. So doing that chapter, which I loved so much, it reminded me of just how much I missed archaeology. It was something I honestly hadn't even thought about for a few years. And as luck would have it, the very day that I turned in my manuscript for Mary Magdalene, I heard from an old friend from the Voice Bible translation days. His name is David Capes, and he is now a dean at Wheaton. He, in his first year there, went over to Israel to visit what was then their new dig site, Tel Shomron. And somehow in his conversation with the gentleman in charge of that, my name came up. And he says that he remembered me saying 15 years ago that I hoped one day I would be able to go back to Israel. He mentioned this to him, and the three of us got together. And as it turns out, I'm going to be going back to Tel Shomron. What I didn't know until after I had signed up is that basically everyone who was on staff at Tel Shomron, they were on staff at Ashkelon when I was there 15 years ago. So this is really exciting. I'm going to be over there for about 3 weeks. I'm going to be there with my old friends and my old colleagues, and I'm hoping we all get to reconnect and have a great time. So for 3 weeks, I'm going to be in the dirt. Then after that, my publisher has agreed to let me tour Israel for about 2 weeks. And I'm going to be working on my next book. That's going to be called The Red-Haired Archaeologist Digs Israel, which you may notice is similar to the title of this podcast. And it will come out in February of 2021. I'm really nervous about going out to Israel. I'm excited, but I'm nervous. I obviously haven't done this in a really long time. 15 years. I'm 15 years older. My knees are 15 years older. And back when I was in graduate school, David and I lived on top of a big hill, and I was carrying literally 50 pounds of books every single day up and down that hill, going between home and school and work. So I was much better physically equipped than I probably am this time around. But I'm just going to do my best, and I'm doing my best now to get healthy and get ready for what I know is ahead. Another one of the ways that I'm getting ready to head over to Israel is by making this podcast. I want to take some time to reflect on the sites and stories in the Bible that I love and that I have missed over the last few years, and I want to share them with you. As the series progresses, I would love to interact with listeners and find out what sites and artifacts they might like to learn more about. We all have different interests, and I would love to be a person who could answer some questions for you. And this summer, I will actually be podcasting from Israel. So when the quality of the podcast changes in July or August, you will know why, because I'm not even sure how that's going to work yet, but I will be doing it from Shomron. That should be a whole lot of fun. If you enjoyed this episode of The Red-Haired Archaeologist, then I hope you will listen again soon. New episodes will be released each Friday. To learn more about me, check out my website, AmandaHopeHaley.com. There you will find links to my books, this podcast, and my blog, where you can interact with me and other listeners. Also look for my next book, Mary Magdalene Never Wore Blue Eyeshadow, How to Trust the Bible When Truth and Tradition Collide. It comes out October 15th of 2019, and it can be pre-ordered for most book retailers now.